Okay, today's Bubba Kama Daf Lamites. Welcome back to all, and hope some of you were able to see the shiur yesterday. That was yesterday, 2 days ago. That was online. The live shiur. It's up on the archives if anybody is interested in seeing it. And we start today. Again, I got back late last night from the delayed flight coming from the snow-covered, ice-covered New York with the delays to. Back to a sunny 70 degrees Beit Shemesh. So everybody's invited here. I think it's less delays on this side. Okay, so let's go. Baba Kama and Mishnah Daf Lamites. Let's see what we could how far we could get today. Okay, Shor Shel Pikeach Shenogach Shor Shel Chereshot of a Katan Chayev. So says the Mishnah that a Shor of a Pikeach, the Shor of a sane person. That gored the shor of a chereshot of a katan, so the shor of somebody who is not responsible for their actions so a cheresh shot of a katan. A cheresh is in halacha is usually a deaf mute. Sometimes it's one or the other, but at least the first shuva the Noda Bihuda talks about this. But at least Bizmana Gemara they assumed that a cheresh was a lav bar das. Okay, is that really true? Bizmana Zeh, we know if somebody is either or, one might say that. So in those days they thought that the cheresh was a lav bar das. That's what we'll assume now. Shota, somebody who is not mentally stable, v'katan and a minor chayiv. So any of these cases chayiv because the shor of pikeach. But pikeach was is a responsible person. He should know. So he's responsible for his ox doing damage. But the opposite, v'shal chereshot v'katan shenogach shor shel pikeach pater. But the ox of a chereshot v'katan that does damage pater, right? Because they're not responsible, and therefore they're going to be pater. As the Mishnah says later on in Parakachovel, that it's tough luck on the one who gets damaged by this. Says the Mishnah, chereshot v'katan pigiasan ra'a. Their pigia meeting them is always negative and bad for the one who meets them. If they do something, they're going to be patur, but anybody does anything to them, they're going to be chayiv. Happens by chovel, happens by nezek, but that's the halacha by these types of people who are not responsible for their actions or for their animals' actions. Rashi quotes here that the Gemara is going to bring up the issue of do we appoint an aputrapus? Do we appoint a guardian for the ktanim? Let's focus on that one. For the ktanim, in cases of to guard their oxen, do we appoint an aputrapus? So the Gemara says discusses the issue, but the Rashi says that this mandamar in the Mishnah is assuming that we are not mamid an aputrapus for the tam of a katan, meaning until three times. And a cotton has a short tam, so we're not going to appoint an apotropis, which would lead to, if we would appoint an apotropis, it would lead to the collection of the tam migufo of the cotton. We don't do that. That's what Rashi says. But Gemara Mefarish, de mamitin apotropis latam ligvos migufo. You don't do that. Nizkemuad, once it's after three times, then we're mamad an apotropis, because then the owners would have to guard it, so too. We guard it here, but that's what that's what Rashi says. We're not mamad an apotropis for a tam. Why not? We aren't we mamad an apotropis for a tam? So Rashi continues and says, because that the ox is metaltalin. It's a movable item, it's an animal. And we know that metaltalin, the yasmi, are not meshubit to balei chovos. Metaltalin and movable items, movable property of ketanim, are not meshubit to items that the father owes. That cheat does Rashi. The problem with Rashi, and this is what Tosfos asks, is, what do you mean, when does that principle apply? If the father borrows money, so then the children don't have to pay back from the metaltalin, only from karka. But if the children actually do something, and they owe something because of their own responsibilities, then of course you collect from metaltalin. So what's Rashi talking about here? Here we're talking about a case where the ox gored at the time of the life of the metaltalin. So what's the... Rashi talking about? It says Tosfos, Tema, Ma Tam De Imamidin. Why aren't we Tosfos and Imamidin? It's going on the Gemara, but we'll do it on the Mishnah. Ma Tam De Imamidin. Why aren't we Mamid in Aputrapus for a Tam? De Im Omar. Don't say Mishum Deim Bezdin is Kaken Elo Nechasim Sheish Lanachrayus. Don't say it as only because Bezdin only focuses on the karka of the Ketanim. Kid Isa Beperak Kamet. It says in the first parak. Gabi Shava Kesev Ukimna Biyasmi. Remember that cryptic line in the Mishnah there in Daf Yudalid, where the Gemara says well, from the earlier, but it says shum shave kesef, and we mukim, that means karka. That's talking about, oh, you only collect from a tal to the yasmi. You don't collect from a tal to the yasmi. But there, the lo dami klal, the hasam mariy behezeko b'chayi ha'av. If the animal does damage b'chayi ha'av, then the tal to the some are not meshubit to the chov that's owed because of the father's actions. But here, it's the ketanim's actions. Right, and therefore, you can't say that is the reason for Matata the Yasmin. You can't say that's the reason why we don't appoint an apotropis to be gover from the tam of a from the short tam of a katan. So, but that is she does Rashi. Tosas argues on that. If you want to look at the Pnei Yeshua, the Pnei Yeshua tries to defend Rashi. That is shot number one. Shot number two. Why else? What other reasons could you give why the Bezdin does not appoint an apotropis to guard the short tam of a katan? Well, why do they wait for three times? So Rashi said, number one, Rashi said, because you're not going to be goved, it's metaltalim. Rashi himself quotes a second shot, which Tosas also quotes, v'ika da'amar, but the tenth skinny line in Rashi, v'ika da'amar, taima mishum de palgan is kaknasa. Some say maybe it's because of palgan is kaknasa. Right, the sugi we have back on Daf Tezvav, chati nezek that we pay of a time, is that knasa or mamona? Should he pay the whole thing, but we're meko, or should he pay nothing and we're machver? So, assuming that he should pay nothing because shtam shvarim b'cheska shimur kaimi, they're supposed to be guarded, but we add on an extra because of a knas. That's the reason. V'yasvi labane knasa ninu. So maybe that's the reason we don't appoint. According to the Madam, Rapagan is knasa, so we don't collect knasos from yisomim. So that's the second shot. So Fakashali says Rashi again. I don't like that shot. Rashi himself asked on this shot. Imkain my ligvos mi gufo denakad. So it sounds like the emphasis is mi gufo. In the Gemara, something about the fact that you collect from the shur itself. But if it's knas doesn't have anything to do with migufo. It just has to do with the chatzin nezek. They have to pay at all. So what exactly is the emphasis of migufo? Tosas has another problem with on that pshat. See the way that's the second pshat that's rejected by most Rishonim. Tosas though gives a third pshat. Tosas says, if you look towards the end of the Tosas, about the fifth to last line in Tosas, v'yesh lomar dahatamhu. Kivan de chas rachmana al hatam shelo yishalim nezek shalem. Since we already see the Torah has rachmanis, that a tam does not pay nezek shalem, hilchach legabe yasmi chashu alayu. So we see the Torah has a makel view when it comes to this payment. So if it has a makel view when it comes to the payment, so we're makel here too on yisomim. Since you only pay chatzin nezek, you'll be yisomim also. V'chein mishahochu bailo b'dinas hayam. Also, Tosa says if the owner went to b'dinas hayam. Kivan she'en lahem bailam gemurim ela yidei takanis bezdin b'hamadas apotropis akilu b'rabanam. Since there's no real owner there to pay, it's just a takana that we're ta'ninon, we taina on behalf of the owner, so we're meiko, whenever we can be meiko in the case of chatzin nezek, we're meiko. That's shitas Tosas. One second, ask the shita v'kubesas, what about lamanda avar? Palgan is kaknasa. That's not a kula. The Torah is meiko if we're meiko on the yisomim also. What do you mean we're meiko? According to the lamanda avar, palgan is kaknasa, which is what we paskin. Right, so then we're not making, we're being machmir. It should be zero. We're throwing in an extra half. So that's the Shidu Kubetzes asks on Tosfos. Answers the Shidu Kubetzes. Even according to the Mandam Rapagan, it's Kaknasa, there's a kula of Migufo. So still, don't focus on Chatinetzik, but Migufo is still a kula, meaning if you're not going to get the whole amount out of this body, so you're still not going to pay. So you still, there is a kula associated from the Torah. Okay, so that's what he does not have the Rashi. That's what he quotes for Tosas. Rabbi Yeshaya quotes this to explain Tosas. The second shot of Rashi. Second shot of Rashi focuses on the fact that it's specifically a knas, and they're in the lav b'nei knasa ninu. Sounds like a halachic principle, not just a kula issue. Right, but here we're talking about the fact that it's just a kula. So we have number one Rashi that is metaltzlin. Number two Rashi or Tosfos also quotes a knas. Number three Tosfos says chas rachmana. And finally, and that's what the papula harifta here also in explaining this about what about madam rapagadus for knasa. So it's not a kula. So the papula harifta says kiva delo matzinu shum knas betora b'machzis hanezek ela kotiv kitzva. This is the only knas in the Torah that you pay half of what you're supposed to pay. Everything else is determined. Shloshim shel eved, 100 of Moshe Shemra. Right? It's always determined. The only one that's not determined and that goes along with the principle is more than that, meaning kefal and dalav v'hei. The Kevel Dav Hei is also connected to the amount, but that's more than. Chatzi Nezek is the only one that's connected to the amount that's less than. So you're right, it might be Knasa, but it's less than what's supposed to be paid, says the Papula Charifta, so the bottom of the Rosh, and therefore, that's why it's considered Chas Rachmanas. That's also another explanation of Tosis. Finally, the last shot that we'll give is the Rosh. The Rosh quoted here in the Sheet of Kabetzas also, quotes, what does it mean? Why do we not want to appoint an apotropis to guard the shartam of a katan? Because what is going to happen? If this shartam is damaged, then this is going to be removed from the katan's property. So we don't want that. We don't want to take something specific, a dover misuyim, away from the katan. You want to take some money away from a cho, fine. That's minha aliyah, that's after a gorse three times. But here, chasu rachmanish lo lahafsid shoroshu hu dover misuyim. Avo b'muach yochol shalim subin lo chashu. So that's we don't want to take something away specifically from the Yisomim, so that's why we don't do it. But either way, those are three or four pshatim on this first line of the Mishnah. First line of the Mishnah that says that a sharp achar shatav katan is patur if it gores, and Rashi says this is going according to the Mandamar. We're going to have it in the Gemara that we don't appoint an apotropis the first three times for a short time of a katan. Vayter in the Mishnah, shor shal achar shatav katan shenogach. So the shor v'charis of the katan that does damage, bezdin mamidin l'apu chavis. Bezdin appoints l'apu chavis. The Gemara is going to ask, Reish l'seifa. We just spent 10 minutes talking about we don't appoint l'apu chavis. Says the bezdin mishnah, the bezdin appoints l'apu chavis, uma me'idin l'hen b'fnei apu chavis. And they're me'id, meaning to make him a mu'ad. They give the hasra'ah and the warning in front of the apu chavis. He's a stand-in, we'll talk more about this later, he's a stand-in for the owner, and therefore the animal can become a muad in that way. What happens if, after the appointment of an apotropis, and after the shor becoming a muad in front of the apotropis, what happens if the other people that he is there for get better? Meaning the shota, the cheresh, becomes opened up. Meaning he loses, he becomes able to see and able to hear. Or the shota gets his senses back. The katan grows up. What's the halacha then? Chazar l'tamuso. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, even though the animal has become a muad, the animal now once again becomes a tam. Amazing. Why should that be? We'll say in a second. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, harehu b'ches kasar. Rabbi Yossi says, no, what are you talking about? Once the animal's a muad, the animal's a muad. So what does this connect to? So you might have said this connects to a sugya that we had about 2 weeks ago, Yehudei Tura or Yehudei Gavra. Right? What is the point of a muad? To give the status to the ox, right? If the ox hasn't changed here, or do you say Yehudei Gavra, that it's that no, you go with the ox in order to give the status to the owner. So you might have said that's the reason. The Gemara here, and Rashi quotes a little different reason. The Gemara says on Amud Beis here, the sugi is what we call Rishus Mishana, or not. Rishus Mishana. Does the status, that because there's a new owner here, does that change the fact that the Shar is a Mu'an? That's what Rashi says. What's the Svar for that? So Nemuka Yosef says, what is the Svar for the Manda Amar Rishus Mishana? Because the owner, here in this case, is the Katan, who became older, could say, I wasn't warned, I didn't know to guard my ox. How was I supposed to know? Nobody told me, you know, Eino Dome Shmiel Re'ia. Meaning, if I don't see it in front of my eyes, so what? That I heard about it, that I might become a Mu'ad. But Eino Dome. So therefore, so I didn't know. That's what the Nemuki Yosef suggests here in the Sugya here. We're going to have another Nemuki Yosef earlier in a minute. But the Nemuki Yosef here says that's what the Svar is. Yachli Yisabim Lameimar, you have a Miyadi Leipa Anfa Dilon. If we would warn in front of us, we didn't realize it so much. That's one svar for a Rishus Mishana. So it's nothing halachically legal about Rishus Mishana. It's just that they could say, you know, we didn't know. The Meiri has a more halachic legal idea relating to what we had back on that base. What does the Meiri say? Yitzias Rishus Mirishus Rishus Mishana Mazlo Vitivo. The Mazel changes of the Shar. The Chazal Tamuso. He's a different shor, different owner is a different shor, Rishus Mishana, and therefore that's why it becomes a tam again. Rishus Mishana, that's number two, says the Meiri. Finally, other achronim, which maybe this is what the Meiri means, but the Chazon Ish says, no, you know what this is similar to? Remember we had earlier, if you're Mu'ad Lezeh, I think it's the day that I left, last week, Mu'ad Lezeh is not a Mu'ad Lezeh, if you're Mu'ad LeShabbos, it's not a Mu'ad LeChol, that was the Rucka Shorva story you sent me, and a Mu'ad Le... Mu'ad le, this type of animal might not be a mu'ad for another type of animal. This is the Chazon Ish. That's what it says. It's like here. It's the Ena Kavana Shor Sis Mishana Teva Umaz Lashar. Not like what the Miri says. At least don't take a Kipshuto. Ella Shelamilachadchila Lo Hayamur Ella Inyan Rishozu. The Lo Hayamur Rishos Acheres. When you warn someone, according to this Banda Amar, who owns a certain animal, you're warning this animal is a Mu'ad for you. It's mu'ad for you, but if it changes, then it's not a mu'ad. So it's a limited mu'ad. That's what it means. That's all it means. Nothing magical. If it's owned by the owner, it's a mu'ad for this animal. Maybe it behaves in a certain way. You know, just like it did on Shabbos, maybe in a certain way with this animal's, this guy's house. If it's some other guy's house, so he's not a mu'ad l'zeh. But according to this, says the Chazon Ish, what happens if three different people own it? And it becomes a mu'ad by each one. So by the fourth one, then, according to my svara, says the Chazon Ish, by the fourth one, it's going to stay a mu'ad automatically. Because once you have three different people who it becomes a mu'ad by, so then memela, it's a mu'ad for everybody. It's a mu'ad l'chol reshuyos. Just like we have on Shabbos, if it's a mu'ad for different days, so Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, so then you say it's going to be a mu'ad for everything, because three times is a mu'ad for everything. So too says the Chazon Ish, according to me, reshus mishane would be limited. That's the Chazon Ish, the Mukiyosa, the Meiri, and the Chazon Ish. Let's continue. Last lines of the Mishnah. Just, it's a lot on the Mishnah here, and it gets a little, thins out a little bit. It says the last line of the Mishnah, Shor Ha'itzdadin, the arena shor. We referred to this in Rabbi Yosef Engel earlier in the Masechta. An ox that they train in order to kill people. Right, like in the Colosseums. So Shor Ha'itzdadin, what if that ox kills someone? So says the Mishnah, Eino Chayim, a bullfighter. Eino Chayim Misa. Right, that ox is not Chayim Misa. Shenemar, if a shor gores, not if he is made to gore by others, the hifel, shoyagihuhu. That's a so we'll get that in a second. Shorho, so this ox is not chayiv misa. Interesting lashon of chayiv misa. Chayiv misa usually sounds like did the person do something wrong? So you might have said it should have been formulated, do we have a chayiv to kill it? Right, but here chayiv misa sounds like, again, what we discussed a few times in the Masecht already, do we fault the animal for its actions, or do we say no? It's just a takala of Kali Yisrael for everyone else. So this lashon of Chayim Misa sounds like it would be the animal, but now we're not going to fault the animal. Inu Chayim Misa. We're going to have in the coming dafim, not today, but the aspect that we spoke about of Kanashar Itzadin. You don't kill it. Is it Kashal Lagabi Hamizbeach? So that was a machlokus in Rav and Shmuel that we'll get back to soon. So the Muki Yosef here, not here. The Muki Yosef earlier on Daf Yud Aleph in the Daf Yarif. Quotes, what about Nezek? So Shor Itzdadin is Chnat Chayim Misa. What if it damages? Is it Chayim for damage? So says the Nebuki Yosef, quoting the Ritva, because of a Ritva to Shor Itzdadin the Potter Hainu Mi Misa. Aval Shal Nezikin Efshar the Chayiv. Right, the Ritva says it's possible that is Chayiv, because the Shor Itzdadin is focused on Misa.
Doesn't the Psukim say Yigach?
The Psukim say Yigach, and therefore you might say, what? But we'll have to see what kiyigach means. So v'li nevra the Muki Yosef though argues. He says no. Tahashar hahu hu anus. This animal is not just being, you know, excited. Ela al yedei shemitzar inoso she'ein bo das ve'inu kama kelev v'stagile b'shisui kein yirali. This isn't like an animal that's excited and therefore gores. That's the case of Chayiv. This animal is trained. This animal is we would say foaming at the mouth. This animal is a total ones. That's what it means. Ki yigach lo sheyagichuhu. That's how the Muki Yosef understands it. That the act might not even be considered the act of the animal, as we'll see this more in a minute in another source.
That's
so says
the.
Well, that might be a snake. Might be different. That might be inherently muad la'olam. So the question is, what does muad la'olam mean? So you might. So you might not be able to ask. That might be inherently part of what the snake does. But that's the Nemuki Yosef quoting the Ritva and the Nemuki Yosef arguing. What would be a svara to be mechalik between Nezek and Misa to say, you know, once we say the chiddush of the Nemuki Yosef, besides the taking the language of the Mishnah, once it's an onate, so I want you to be mechalik between Nezek and Misa. So suggest the Nachlas David the following svara. The Misa, connected to what we just said, the Misa is on the Guf Hashor. Why do you kill an animal if an animal does damage? So think about the goof of the... Not that the animal is responsible, even if you don't want to go that far to say that we're punishing the animal, but still, it's a punishment that relates to the goof hashor. So therefore, then we could say, because the shor is honest, because it was forced to, so to speak, what it was taught, so we say Torah patters it. But when it comes to nezek, nezek isn't dafka l'guf hashor. Why do you have to pay because of nezek? We discussed this in the first parak, choser shmira. That's because not just because of the maisa hezek, but because of the lack of guarding of the person. So it doesn't matter what if the animal was ne'enas or not. I didn't guard the person. So therefore, even by a shor ha'isadin, it might make sense that I'm going to be chayev. Well, in tashlumi nezikin, she's a chayev ala bailim, lo mistav ala patro mishib shemelum ado bakach, o she osek ala idea chayrim. Shem kain, because if so, kol ha'cha yom ha'shor ha'ligach, because you know what's going to happen, then I'll train my oxen to be crazy. And then I'll be potter. You can be mechayev him by nezik, because that relates more to the person than it does to the animal.
That's as far as you'll train your oxen.
No, I'm saying that's just at the end, but it's more of a, yeah.
He killed him, stopped on, like, he was walking the street, and he killed him.
Yeah, was this in the arena that the killing take place? I would assume even not. Even down the street, because this animal is trained. The animal is trained to kill.
No punishment at all, like, even the owner didn't watch, he wasn't watching him, he knows that his...
No, is he going to have to pay kofar? But he might have certain payments, but the shor is not chayim misa. Shor is not chayim misa. Okay, let's continue. Oh, just one other ha'ara, and then we'll move on. The Machlokas Rambam Raivit here on the Mishnah. The Rambam says about this Shor Ha'Istadin. The Rambam says the Shor Ha'Istadin can never become a Muad. That's the Shita of the Rambam. Shvarim Shemsachkin Bohen Umalam Din Osan Sheyagichu Zedze. Right, these oxen that are trained to gore and to fight with each other, Einem Muadim Zelazeh, they do not become a Muad. Doesn't matter if they gore three times, they don't become a Muad. Right, v'afilu hemiso es ha'adam ein chayav en misa shenemar ki gach v'lo sheyagichuhu. That's the Rambam. So the Rambam, what's the Rambam talking about? The Mishnah says he can't be chayav misa. Fine, but why can't you become a muad? Says the Rambam, v'lamalo v'levi kashar shu muad l'shofaros. Right, just like a shar that we had before. Some oxen, whenever you're a shofar, kills, it damages. So you're a muad l'shofaros. So here it should be a muad. Why can't you become a muad? The Rambam jumps from the animal not killing the animal if the animal kills to not becoming a muad. And the Rambam argues. Sorry?
He's not chayav nezek.
According to the Rambam, would he hold like the Ritva?
No, he would hold that you're not chayav nezek either.
I'm saying, would he hold like the Nemuki Yosef? Einem muadim zelazeh? Would you pay chati nezek? I don't know, but yeah, lechore, you'd be pater. So what's the machlokas about? What's the svara for the Rambam and the Ravid? So similar to what we just said, that's the brisker rav here. The two brisker ravs in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. One discusses the first five lot of the Masechta, all about the midos, what shor, bar, maven, hever. And the second one is this Rambam. What is the limud of ki yigach v'lo sheyagichuhu here? What does that limud mean? So says the brisker rav, it's not just a patur in payment. The be'emes yisod hadin shall shor ha'istadin de'eno chayav misa mishum shenemar ki yigach v'lo sheyagichuhu la'du patur ba'alma michiyav misa. It's not just a patur. Elo di yisod hadin bazeh de kol she'eno osem me'atzmo rak al yedesu magichin oso Etzem ha'maisa eino bechlal kiyigach. The ein kan chiyuv et ashor klal. This action is not labeled as the act. Umishim zehu de pata mimisa, mishim de ein kan maisa negicha klal, v'yashor atzmo. Not that the animal is putter. But this isn't called a maisa negicha. So it's the brisker rav, so it makes perfect sense. Why you don't put a muad, you at least need three maisa negichos. But that's what the Rav said. It is a Maisa Negicha with a Patur. But the Rambam says, no, it's not even called a Maisa. And this is exactly the question that we're going to have on tomorrow's daf, which I just alluded to before, and that is, what about, is this animal at least Kashal Gabi HaMizbeach? Fine, you're not going to kill it, but Rav Shmuel of a Machlokas, Kashal Gabi HaMizbeach. Rav Shmuel says, oh, it's an anus, therefore it should be okay, versus, no, but it's still killed. So that gufa could be the same machlokas between the Rav and the Ravid, is the machlokas there between Rav and Shmuel. It also relates to the general point of how do you view a Maisa Ba'ones.
Why does the Mishnah focus on Misa?
Why does the Mishnah focus...
Why does it focus on
Misa? I mean, Shor Ha'Itzadid, I think, is generally trained to kill. So I think just that's the pashas of what the Akaz does. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Hagufa Kasha, the Mishnah itself has a problem. Amar Church, Lcherishot the Pekata, Shinaka Shersha Begech Pater, the first line of the Mishnah says, Asher Becherishot the Katan is Pater, Alma, Eima Midrapo Chapas Latam Likvas Migufo. As we said, the first part of the Mishnah sounds like, what's the Svara based on? Rota pointed out Putrapis for a tam to collect from the goof of the animal. Ema Seifa, but the second half of the Mishnah says, Shur Shachar Shod of a Kotan. Shinogach, Bezin Mamidin Lan Putrapis. Bezin appoints an Putrapis, a guardian. Uma Mitin Lahen Bifne Putrapis. And they warn them, they give the Putrapis warning, and they become a Muad. Alma, even before, becomes a Muad, Mamidin Lan Putrapis. Latam Ligvas Michok, Migufo. So do we appoint that apple chappas or not for a katan? Amar Rava, hachik tani. This is how you read the Mishnah. Really, you don't appoint an apple chappas for the tam. Vim huchzaku nagchanin. But once it becomes a nagach, once it becomes a muad, ma'amitim lehen apu chapas. So then we appoint an apu chapas. That's the seifa. You have to add in. Once it's three times, then you appoint an apu chapas. Umeitim lehen befne apu chapas, umashvinan lehu muad. And you can make it into a muad. Tehi hadar vin nagach. So once it does, it gores again, l'shale me aliyah. Then you have to pay from the aliyah. Period. Tosfos here has a chiddush. Tosfos says, in Dibur Maskil v'im, once you appoint the apu chapas, so then it has to gore another three times to pay Nezek Shalei. That's what Tosva says. The Ravid asks, no. Once you appoint the Apachabas, that means it's a Mu'ud already. So you're going to pay the first time. Interesting, Machlokas Rishonim. What occurs when you appoint the Apachabas? Is it Mishtageya right now? And you assume it's going to damage or not? That's a Machlokas Rishonim here.
Once it gores once and you appoint
an
the next time?
No, you don't appoint the Apachabas for a time, according to this. Once it gores three times, let's say. So then you appoint the apple chappas. So the question is, though, is that automatic then? Or, because you don't appoint the apple chappas the first three times, or is it, you have to wait for another three times? Okay. Let's continue this. There's a minchas chidav to say, but let's leave it, then we'll see if there's time after. Mi aliyas man. So you pay, once you appoint the apple chappas, and you have to pay, mi aliyah. Minha aliyah. You don't pay mi gufo. Who's minha aliyah? Whose property? Whose property do you use to pay? So bachlokes. Rabbi Yochanan amar mi aliyas yisomim. The apotropis is appointed as guardian of the property, so if the animals does damage, so you appoint from Aliyah of the Yisomim, which we might have said is the Pashtus. Rabbi Yossi Rachanina Amar Me Aliyah Apotropis. Rabbi Yossi Rachanina says you appoint from the Aliyah of the Apotropis, as we're going to see on Amud Beis on top, that when the children get older, maybe they can get paid back. But at least now you use from the Aliyah of the Apotropis. Says the Pnei Yeshua, the Machlokas here is only about the Yisomim. The Yisom, the Ketanim. But by Cheresh Veshota, you for sure use the property of they themselves, the Cheresh of the Shota, because they will never be able to pay back the Abu Chavis. At least from the Ketanim's point, so that's what the Pnei Yeshua says. So he asked the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. So Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? That you could go collect from the Abu Chavis's property, from the Yisomim's property, the Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi. Didn't Rav Asi say, "Ein is kaken lenechse yisomim elim kein ribis ochelas bahen"? Rav Asi says that we never, Bezdin never goes to collect anything from nechasin of yisomim, even for a shtar that the father owes. You never collect anything. Why? From the yisomim, unless you know the father owes money and there's interest involved. How? Let's say to a non-Jew. Actually, we don't talk about Rasham here, right? To a non-Jew, a guy is allowed to send you. It's not one of the seven mitzvot of Noach. A guy calling you money with interest. So therefore, you know, if you don't pay this back by the time the ketanim get old enough to pay back the father's loan, there's not going to be any money left. So then you could go to Yisomim's property. But Rav Asi says otherwise. We never collect from Yisomim. Rashi's lashon is lav b'nei me'eved mitzvah ninhu. Even the Gemara says Aksubis that prius balchov is mitzvah. We don't have to stand in for them. We never collect anything from Yisoma's property unless it's being lost. Ribis ochelos b'hem. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan adds on, l'shtar sheish bo ribis, either if it's a case where ribis, the interest is being collected, o l'ksubis isha b'sumizoni, or their mother is getting mizonos every day, getting sustained by them, and if they would pay the ksuba, then there would be enough. They wouldn't have to pay mizonos for 20 years. They're just giving the ksuba, and then they wouldn't be responsible to give her mizonos. Either way, Rabbi Yochanan adds on to Rav Asi, but Rabbi Yochanan seems to say you never collect from Yisomim's property. Right? You never zokek to the Yisomim's property. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say here that you collect for the Nezek me'aliyas Yisomim? Two answers. Number one, Eifah. Okay, swish it. Gemara always has that right. Rabbi Yochanan amar me'aliyas apotropsin. Rabbi Yosef Rechanina amar me'aliyas Yisomim. So Rabbi Yochanan holds you get it from the apotropis. Rabbi Yosef Rechanina says you collect it from the Yisomim. Amar Rava. Rava says, "Mishum de kasha to Rabbi Yochanan, ad Rabbi Yochanan, mashvus leder to Rabbi Yosef Rechanina toa." Well, you have a problem with Rabbi Yochanan. So all of a sudden, you throw the difficult sheet to Rabbi Yosef Rechanina. Well, how can you do that? That's not fair. Rabbi Yosef Rechanina dina who? Rabbi Yosef Rechanina is a dayan. V'dachas lom kadadina, and he goes to the root of the din, meaning he's a very smart fellow. Rabbi Yosef Rechanina, right? So how can we say attribute to him a shita that we can't understand? You know, so maybe if it was maybe an anonymous Tana, Rabbi Yosef Rechanina, he's Nachas Lom Kedadina, right? So he gives the Iyun Shiurim. So how could we say that he's the one that says you could collect from Yisomim? So El, you're right. La olam lo tefach umazik shiny. Maybe you're right. Don't switch it. Rabbi Yochanan really is the shita that says you could collect from the Yisomim, and he's the one that you don't collect from their property ever. But you know what? You don't collect loans from their property, but you collect nezek from their property. That's different. Nezek shiny. Why is nezek shiny? Why nezek shiny? Right, we said earlier, back in the first paragraph, if you remember, the second half of the first paragraph, we discussed all the different payments. So nezek gets paid back when it is. So that's already, you see something different. You get back from the best, right? Any metalitzlin or the best land. So you already see there's something different here, because here something wrong was done. By a loan, somebody lends you money. Somebody owes you money back. But here, there was a maisa nezek. Maybe there was an aveira done. Right, maybe it was not they were done. Right, we had earlier, if you remember, the discussion whether nezek is a milva haksuva batorah or not. Right, milva is for sure a milva she'enaksuva batorah, meaning you don't need the Torah to tell you that if I lend you money, that you have to pay me back. So it's a certain level, but the nezek could be a milva haksuva batorah, meaning the details of nezek might be something that the Torah tells you to pay. So it's so much stronger. So either way, the shibud of nezek is different, and therefore you can go to Yisomim's property by nezek. So now let's get to the svaras. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Meilias Yisomim. Rabbi Yochanan says, from the Aliyah of Yisomim, you can take the money property actually from them. De'i Amar Meilias Apotropis, because if you say the Apotropis has to pay back from his own property, Mimni Vlo Avdi, then nobody's going to ever want to be an Apotropis. Right, what do you mean? I'm going to have to pay back for my own stuff? I'm doing you a favor. I'm going to stand in for the father. So don't blame me. Rabbi Yosef Rachanina Amar. We're not worried. Meilias Apotropis, V'chozer Menefram and Yisomim L'chigavli. No, we're not worried. You could get it from the Apotropis, and then you collect it again from the Yisomim once they become Gedolim. Period. Two major sugyas that have to do with one with this line, one with the past 20 lines. Big sugya, I think we discussed in the past, we discussed this for sure in the second parak of Maseches Kiddushin. How do we view an Apotropis? How exactly an Apotropis? And even just two English words give different impressions. Is the Apotropis an agent, or is the Apotropis a guardian? Even those two words are different. Meaning, how much is he a stand-in for the ketanim themselves, or how much does he? Right, he's a agent. He's their agent. He's mamish their shliach, shlishalom kamoso. Or he's a guardian. He guards their property, but you know he's not them. This comes up in many, many different sugyas. We had it there in kedushin on that in the beginning of the second parak, where the gemara was talking about shlichus. Can an apotropis take off trumas and maisrus for the ketanim's property? So the Gemara there says, "Atem v'lo apotropsin." It has a limud. You, the owner, could give take off shumas and maisus, and not the apotropis. So the Rashba there has two days, whether that's a real din daraisa or not. Yesh lafari says the Rashba there in kedushin membeis to drasha gemurahi. It's a real drasha. Apotropis is excluded mita oraisa, and apotropis cannot take off truma. The hud that's not I, it says elsewhere that apotropis can. That's hefker bez and hefker, right? They could do it for the someone that could eat. The Yesh Lafarish the Lav Drasha Gemurahi. No, it's not a real Drasha. Why? The Lav Drasha Gemurahi Lav Utrapsin. Why? The Yadon Kiyad Yisomim. V'tarminu Ma'asrin Devar Torah. What do you mean? They are the Yisomim. How can you exclude a temple of Utrapsin? No, it's a Dinat Smach, the Midra Bana, and they shouldn't do it. They should wait till the Yisomim get older. But Midra Raisa, they cannot exclude it from the Torah. They are Atem. They're not excluded a temple of Utrapsin. The Lokarinam Beitorim She'enu Shalom. This is not called Enos Shalom when the Apotropis takes off Truma. So that's 2 days in the Rashba, but this comes up in many places. Tosas there also discussed, when we have the Apotropis, do we treat the Apotropis like we would the Yisomim themselves? Do you split it like you get this and I get that? Do you split it al de goro? All these different aspects that we do just based on the treating the Apotropis like the Yisomim. Does that all kick in or not? So that comes up in many places, but here maybe that's part of what's behind this issue also. The Gemara doesn't say it. The Gemara seems to say it's a din d'rabbanan. But maybe that's also part of it. Do you pay from the Apotropis' property or from the Yisomim's property? Maybe it has to do with how much really you have to play. You have to take from the real property of the Mazik. So is the Apotropis the real Mazik? Is he a real standard for the Yisomim? So according to the Landamah, it says he takes from the Apotropis. So maybe because, again, the Gemara says formulates it in rabbinic terms, meaning is he going to get it back? Yeah. But maybe in a sense, maybe part of what's behind this is how much is the Apotropis a real agent, or is he just a guardian? Could be a little bit. That's what's behind. Even though, again, I admit that the Gemara doesn't go down that road. The other issue that's discussed on this line of the Gemara is the Hagos Ashri. Hagos Ashri is not here. Hagos Ashri is in Achovel. That's where this comes up. That's Sadeches. What comes up there? Let's say my someone's child. Let's say someone's child breaks a window in school. Someone's cutting child. So they have to pay for it. Me'ikar hadin. Okay, you might have signed a waiver when you send the kid to school that you're responsible. But the question is, does a cotton's nezek, does a parent have to pay for that? But even more than that, does the child have to pay for his own nezek when he gets older? Does a cotton have to do tshuva for his averus that he did when he was a cotton, when he gets older? That's a huge sugya in the Rishonim. It comes up from the Gemara in Achova. There's a Gemara in Achova on Daf Sadeches where Rav Ashi was forced to pay for what he did when he got older. The Gemara there says on Daf Sadeches Amid Beis that I'm not going to read it now to save time, but the Gemara there has a story where one of the Avraham had to pay. So on that Gemara over there on Daf Sadeches says the Hagos Ashri Perches Os Tes Katan Chayev L'Shalem Kishe Yagdil. A katan, you're right, Pigyasan Ross is the Mishnah Daf Pei Zayin. He's Pater at the moment, but when he gets old, he's got to pay. He's got to keep track of all the windows that he broke and pay for it, and all the bikes that he stole, and he has to pay for it when he gets older. V'chein Pirish Rashi, come on, Kafi Rafram L'Rav Ashi Shesarav Shtar Chaveru Bialduso. Right, Rav Ashi burned somebody. Rav Ashi was a wild kid, it sounds like. He burned somebody's shtar when he was a kid, and when he got older, he was forced. Rafram forced him to pay for it. V'chein Mashma Perak Shor Shenagat Alav Vehei Taflamet Hasma Beis. So to our Gemara, what happens here? What did the Yosef Rechanina say? He says when the kids get older, the apotropos gets to take from them. So you see, they're responsible for their actions. Kol shekin hachad azkin afshayu. If you could take from their shore that did damage, surely if they themselves were mazik. So that's the Hagos Ashri here. So, fine. Wonderful. Anybody argue? Many Rishonim, including the Rambam. The Rambam argues. The Rambam says, if you look in Hilchas Chovel Mazik, Dal Chav, the Rambam says, Beferish the Katan's Chayiv. Katan's Pater to pay, even when he gets older. Cherish the Katan's Begias and Roh, Chovel Ben Chayiv, and Chovel Bacher and Pturin, Afa Pishin is Tapeh, Acharish, Vinishav, Asho, Devi Higdala Katan, Einan Chayav, in Lashalem, Shebishah, Shechavlu, Lohayu, Bnei Das. Right? They weren't a Bnei Das. This relates to the issue of, what do we call a Maisavir of a Katan? Again, is it a Maisavir with a Pteronchin, or is it not even a Maisavir at all? That's maybe the root of this. But this is a very important sugya. How do you get out of our Gemara? Assuming like the Rambam, let's say it's like the Rambam, you say Pater, how do you get out of our Gemara? Is there a svara to say that when the kid himself damages Adam Amazik, he's going to be Pater? Well, but Mono Shehizik, he's going to be Chayiv. So it says one of the Achronim I saw, 100% is a svara. When it comes to Adam Amazik, that's the Maisa itself. Focusing on the action. So the kid's action, he's not responsible for his action. That's why he's going to be Pater. But if it's separated from him, it's just mamono shehizik, so then already we could say it's a choser shmira, it has to do with his property. So maybe that could even apply to a katan, and that could hold over even later. If you want any makoros on this, as we usually have, whenever you have a tshuva from on a sugya, look in Yabia Omer, Vadi Yosef and Chelaches, Choshe Mishpat Simin Vav. So every mucker under the sun, up until the time the tshuva was written, will be in that tshuva. Nishalti mi bal tshuva. He was asked from a bal tshuva. Adam shebioso. I don't know what it said. It didn't have to be a bal tshuva. I guess that was just the case. Adam shebioso katan pachos mi bar mitzvah ganav kesef mi chanus achas. Right. He was less than 13 years old. He stole money from a certain store. V'hotziu letzvar tzrachav ihaishiim, and he used it for personal gain. V'kaeis la'achar shehigdil chazar b'tshuva. It's also embarrassing, you would say. Right? So does he have to return the money? He goes through all the marmakomos. Including, fascinating, he at one point says, maybe this has to do with, we know the machlokas, Rashi, Tosis, and Brachas. Who the mitzvah of chinuch, is it on the kid or is it on the father? We had a shir about that one time. There's machlokas rishonim. Is it the kid's responsibility to be mechunach, or the father's responsibility to teach him? So maybe that's what ways. If it's the kid's mitzvah of chinuch, so then he's responsible. He didn't fulfill his mitzvah of chinuch by acting properly, so he's going to be chayif. Mashiach, if it's the father's mitzvah, so then the kid's not going to be responsible. So then he says, maybe you should be mechalik between Beit Adam L'Makom and Beit Adam L'Chaveiro. Beit Adam L'Makom, Hashem doesn't hold you responsible yet. Beit Adam L'Chaveiro, you know, so then you have to, you're damaged. So he goes back and forth. Related to he talks about the sugi at the beginning of Ksubis about Pitu Iktana Onesu. Halacha L'maaseh at the end, Kedarka Bakodesh, who would he passing like? The Rambam. Right, Maran. Right? So he says the Meikra Din Katan does not have to pay, but you know, he should. Right, as he would have thought. Minadin Patel Shalom Afilo Akashiagdo, Venochai Afilo, what is the Shemayim? Mikomako means Chasidus, she eating Azus Chumla Kaparoso, the Shavarafalo. So there's levels of Meikra Din, Midas Chasidus, Meikra Din, what is the Shemayim, and Midas Chasidus. So according to Rav Avadia, this only gets into the Midas Chasidus level. Okay, so let's continue. We'll see, we'll do some more of the Tshuva if there's time. It says the Gemara, Mavidil Anaputrapis, and Latam Ligvas Mikhuvo Tanoihi. This issue of whether we're Mavidil Anaputrapis for a Tam, the first three times, is really Machlokas Tanon. Ditanya, as the Brisa says. Shurshan is Chashu Ba'alav, Vishnu Shatu Ba'alav, Vishalcho Ba'alav, Dinas Ayam. In any of these cases where the owner is not there, right? He's either deaf mute, he's went to Medina Sayam, or he became a Shote. Yehuda ben Akusa Amar, Sumchis. Harehu betamuso achi yeidu bo b'fnei b'ilam. Unclear statement. We'll explain it soon. But the first day it says he's always a tam until the hadah takes place in front of the owner. V'chachamim omrim ma'amidin l'naputrapin aputrapinu me'idin ben b'fnei aputrapin. Nacham say no. You could give an aputrapis the warning. Nispakeach acher. That's reisha. The seifa. Nispakeach acher shishtafa ashod v'higdal katan. Let's say the owner comes back. The cotton gets older, or the cheresh and the shota become healthy, ubo bala b'medina sayam, or the owner comes back from medina sayam. So then Yehuda ben Akusa Omar Sumchis, chazer l'tamuso ashiyide bo b'fnei b'aylam. He returns to being a tam, until you give the warning, says Sumchis. Rabbi Yossi Omar Harihu b'cheskas, Rabbi Yossi says, no, he is what he always was. So let's talk about each one. What did Sumchis say? Sumchis said in the Reisha, he's always a tam until you give the warning. And then at the end he says, he returns to being a tam. So ask the Gemara, Amru, my harayu b'temusa, the Gemara Sumchas. What does it mean that he's always a tam? Ile mitulom yayid klal. Do we say that this ox can never become a muad if the owner's not there? That can't be. Why? Because hamitzani seifa. Since the seifa says chazal atamuso mechal de yayid, from the fact that the seifa says he becomes a tam again, must be that he became a muad at some point. So it must be that he became a muad. Ella my harayu b'temusa. What must Sumchas mean by harayu b'temusa? Harayu b'temimuso. He is complete. Meaning, he is never obligated to pay, meaning shartam. A shartam, once he becomes a muad, the animal will still be there. You will never have had paid a migufo payment. That's what betmi musa means here. Delo machasrin amlei. We're never machaser this animal by giving a migufo payment from it. Alma, so what is sumchis hold then? Eima midin apuchapis latam likvas bichovo. That's his root shita. That we never appointed apuchapis for a katan, whose short time is going to do damage. The Chachamim omrim, no. Mavidin l'aputrapis, v'midin l'aputrapis. What did the Chachamim hold? Alma, mavidin l'aputrapis, l'tam l'kvaz b'chovo. Maybe that's good for the machlokas in the Reisha. Whether we appoint the aputrapis. The Seifa b'maikim yafogim. What about the Seifa? What's the machlokas about the Seifa? Whether it reverts back to being a tam? That's what we refer to on Amud Aleph. Rishus Mishana yikabinayu. Sum chesava rishus mishana. Rabbi Yossi rishus rishusina mishana. As we discuss on Amud Aleph by the Mishnah, the three different svaras for the mandamar of rishus mishana. Interesting psak. We don't have time right now, but of the Rambam, the Rambam paskins rishus mishana, but not by an aputrapus. Which we'll get to that svar. He regular rishus mishana, different owner. He passes rishus mishana, but aputrapis he does not pass him like rishus mishana, which is difficult in this gemara, which seems to relate rishus mishana to the case of aputrapis. Tana rabbanan says the gemara. Shor v'cherishot v'kadon shenogach Rabbi Yaakov mishal v'chazi nezek. A shor v'cherishot v'kadon that damages, right? Which the Mishnah said pater. Rabbi Yaakov paid chazi nezek. Look at Rabbi Yaakov mevite. When Rabbi Yaakov pays, Rabbi Yaakov pays, but forevermore. Rabbi Yaakov always pays. What does that mean? My avitze. Ema elaima Rabbi Yaakov omer mishalim chazi nezek. No, it means Rabbi Yaakov holds that you pay chazi nezek. Interesting, Rabbi, we mentioned this in the past, that there is a Rabbi Yaakov in the Gemara, there's a Rabbi Yitzchak in the Gemara too. There's no Rabbi Avraham. Interesting, there are certain names that are not found in Shas. Avraham, Moshe, David, Yisrael. No, you're not Yisrael. Avraham, Moshe, and David. Those three are not, there are no Tanam or Amoram named that. Why is that? Tzorachin. The Rishonim already, we have it. Rishonim already named Avraham and the other name is Moshe. Right, and the Tanam and the Amoram. Amoram are not named Avraham or Moshe or David. Okay, so So what's the case here? Rabbi Yaakov says that a Tam, that an animal of a Chersh of the Katan pays Chati Nezek. So what's the case? Ibetam Shita. If it's Tom at a Tam, of course he pays Chati Nezek. Everybody pays Chati Nezek. V'iba muad, if it's a muad, ita avdile shmira, klava kla, lo boy lishlume. If the charge of a katan did guarded it, so he shouldn't pay at all. Ita lo avdile shmira, and if he didn't do anything, kulin ezeb boy shlume, he should have to pay everything. So what's the case where Rabbi Yaakov says that an animal of a charge of a katan pays chatzi nezek? So three answers. We're going to do one or two of them today. Answer number one, Amar Rava. La olam b'muad, really talking about a muad. V'hagamay eskina da'avi shmir p'chusav. Lo avi shmir me'ula. He did a low-level shmira on the muad, and not a high-level shmira. And he holds like there are three assumptions to his shita. V'Rabbi Yaakov sarvala k'Rabbi Yehuda. D'Amritzat Thomas b'mkoma omedes. Number one, he holds that Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says, we had earlier, we're going to have later on, that when a muad becomes a muad, when an animal becomes a muad, his tzad tamus still stays. The muad just means there's an extra chatzi nezek that he has to pay min ha'aliyah. But the original half that he was had to pay, that still remains, meaning he still pays begufo from that half. Tzad tamus b'mkomo omedes, meaning there's still an aspect of a tam in this animal. And v'savol k'Rabbi Yehuda d'amar muad tzagli b'shvi b'chusa. And we're going to have later on, based on a pasuk, that by a muad might require halachically less shmira than a tam requires. Here, why should that be? We'll have to see there. Sounds like somewhat illogical, but we'll have to see there what the svara is. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that a muad is enough for shmir pechusa. So here, what happened? He did a shmir pechusa, so meets the half of muad he's patur for. The shartam, he only did a shmir pechusa, so he's going to be chayav for that. And v'savol k'rabbanan d'arimam, he's not put shabbos latam l'gvos mi'gufo. And he holds like the rabbanan that says that a shartam could pay of a katan. So that's why Rabbi Yaakov says, we're talking about a muad, you pay chatzin ezek, but you only pay chatzin ezek, because the other half of muad, you're not responsible for, because you did shmira chusa. That's answer number one. Amalei Abayev lo pligi? Really? Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda don't argue? Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda in all these cases? V'atanya, sure, chalachat v'kata shenagach, Rabbi Yehuda mechai, Rabbi Yaakov omer chatzin ezek kudu mishalem. Didn't Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov argue in this case? So Amar Rav Ula, no. Masha mechayev Rabbi Yehuda pirish Rabbi Yaakov. No, Rabbi Yaakov is explaining Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says chayev, Rabbi Yaakov says what? He's mechayev. He's mechayev chatzi nezek. Period. Ula, should we stop here? We have time for 2 more minutes. Ula baya, two more minutes. Let's do answer number two. Ula baya to Amar pligi by my pligi. According to Abaya, Abaya assumed Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda argue. So what are they arguing about? So Amar lacha, hakam ayeskine, but muad v'lo nashrei klal. No, really, it's a the muad and he didn't guard it at all. So Rabbi Yaakov, savalak Rabbi Yehuda b'chada poligla b'chada. And Rabbi Yaakov holds half like Rabbi Yehuda. Savak Rabbi Yehuda b'chada, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda by half. Dealer Rabbi Yehuda, savrit tzatav z'mkobo medez. Rabbi Yehuda, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in that there's half time in here. There's half time in here, but he didn't guard it at all. He didn't guard it at all. So he's, so what's the halacha? Upaligla b'chada. Dealer Rabbi Yehuda, savrit ma'bidin l'an Abu Chavis, l'tam l'gvas b'gufo. Rabbi Yehuda says, you appointed Abu Chavis to pay me gufo. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda would say he paid Nezek Shalin here. Because even though you have half time in here, but he's chayiv nezek shalem, because he's chayiv for the time and the muad. He didn't do any guarding. Rabbi Yaakov savar ein mamidim v'lo mishalem elapalga de muad. Rabbi Yaakov says, no, you're not mamid an apuchapis for a tam l'gvos migufo, so but your whole tzad, the tzad time is there, but you're putter for that half. So you only chayiv for the muad half. V'lo mishalem elapalga de muad. It's interesting. So Rav and Abai have opposite shitas. What's the chazin nezek that you're paying for? Are you paying for the tam half, or are you paying for the muad half? Right, that's the two deos to understand. Period. We'll stop here, and then we'll get to a third shot for the machlokas tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop here, and we will continue tomorrow. We'll get to Shiva the Dereb Nassan again. And remember, yesterday, the shiur, the live shiur that was online 2 days ago, is about yesterday's daf, about the case where they came and they said there's only one thing we don't understand in the entire Torah. You know, why didn't they lie? Wasn't it Yarek Valyat? Wasn't it Sakhar Safashos? So that share is online on projectsinite.org in the archives for anybody who wants. Okay? It's good to be back.